The Griffith Park Zoo. No animals, all secrets. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
Do you like zoos? Are you a fan?
You know, I used to, when I was younger, I would go to, I remember going with my, I don't know if it went my dad or when I went to the Bronx Zoo in New York. Yeah, so Bronx Zoo was the big zoo for me. And aside from that, I lived in San Diego. I may have gone to the San Diego Zoo once. Mm-hmm. I went to the LA Zoo because I actually went back to community college just to kind of take a break from like everything to just like use my brain in a different way. And it was an anthropology class. So, went to the zoo. It's part of the thing. It was fun. We live close to the zoo, don't we? Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think that there's a bunch of zoos that I don't know about.
Yeah.
Aside from the one we'll talk about today, which isn't a zoo anymore.
But the LA Zoo, the zoo that's up and running in Los Angeles. That's relatively close to here, right?
I thought that was in Santa Monica. Is that the Santa Monica?
No. Thinking the beginning of Three's Company when they're at the Santa Monica?
I don't know.
There's the LA Zoo.
Where is it?
I think it's really close to us, like maybe. Because, you know, there's like Zoo Drive, or is that?
That's up to the abandoned zoo that we're talking about.
We're talking about
spoiler
the abandoned. Yeah.
Alert for 5 seconds from now.
No, I went to a zoo and it was here. I think it's the LA Zoo was here on the east side as well.
Oh. I didn't research any working zoos. In Wisconsin, where I'm from, we had the Milwaukee Zoo. And the weird thing about that zoo was that they designed it so the predator and prey were next to each other. So, like, educationally, that makes sense, where it's like, oh, the circle of life, like, this eats. But for the animals, their existence was just, like, fraught with, like trauma. Like, the predators would just circle and, like, be by that wall.
But I feel like that is Wisconsin itself.
Yeah, that is Wisconsin. It's a tiny, it's definitely a metaphor.
Yeah.
Or a parallel.
It's like your teacher was like an empty beer can.
That's true. That's true. Blatz.
Yeah.
Miller time. It's Miller time.
I mean, I've seen Laverne and Shirley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah. I mean,
they were like my factory ants.
Yeah.
Everything I know. So zoos are creepy. I don't know. I also would love to paint one of my dream jobs is painting the insides of zoos. Like,
you know, you mentioned this last night.
I did in my stand-up. No one laughed.
But here's the thing is, I laugh at everything.
Thanks.
I'm a bad encourager, though. They're like, that one dude laughed. I'm going to keep doing this. It's like, no, I'm just a polite laugher.
Yeah, you laugh politely.
I'm fake.
It was real, though.
Yeah, but I was fake.
So
it's all balanced out. But Rebecca's been doing stand-up for a very long time.
Sure.
Yeah. I started a little less than a year ago. But this was the first time we did a stand-up show together.
Yeah.
You know? So maybe we take this on the road. We won't do any of that.
No, we're not going to do any of that shit.
No, we won't do any of that. But that was just interesting that you did bring up wanting to paint.
Yeah, the inside, which would be shitty, but I love painting like interior, like habitats. Okay. Not good for the animals. They should have real habitats and real plants.
That lead paint is not going to help?
I don't know. Under that concrete?
Yeah.
They love it.
I go crazy for it. Is there any ethical kind of quandary, like talking about the circus or a zoo, like where there's, you know, I'm sure questions have been raised.
Yeah.
I'm not here to do that particularly.
Yeah. I think zoos can be done really well. The San Diego Zoo, the Belize Zoo. Holy shit. It's just like a forest.
Belize Zoo?
Yeah. I went there.
You don't know where this one here is in LA, but you're talking about the Belize Zoo?
Yeah.
And I feel like Belize is just
very
like
cultured.
Like cocoa butter bikini girls and hot guys.
It's a zoo. It's a human zoo. It's a Kurt Vonnegut story that you just made up. But I think like zoos, I don't have a problem with if they're done really well. If they have the resources and the funding. Circuses, yikes. But I also like horse racing, but they're treated like kings. Like those horses will be treated
better. That's what they tell you because you're getting funded.
But I've seen
by big gambling.
Yeah. I guess so. But I have been back. I mean, they're like everything they need or want. Yeah. The best doctors. Yeah. Do you think I have a good doctor? I don't.
They shock them with the best electricity.
Yeah.
They shoot them up with the best steroids.
No, I don't know. But it is the kind of a moral quandary. That being said, this zoo that we're going to talk about today doesn't have any animals. It did at one point, but not that many. So we're going to talk about the Griffith Park Zoo slash the abandoned zoo slash the old zoo. Lots of names for it.
I've been there. I went on a, I did some video on there, and this is before, you know, I was before the podcast. And it was my
Before the podcast?
Yeah, there was like, it was BP, before podcast. And it was just a thing where I was like, oh, there's this cool abandoned thing. And it was kind of like, you know, it was doing it on YouTube or whatever. Mm-hmm. So I was really excited to see that. But I'd like to go back and re-see it, depending on what's there now.
Wait, I think I did go to the LA Zoo. I recall going to a zoo by... Anyone cares? No, I'm going to keep going.
Yeah.
I think I got really high with a friend who was in town. And we went to the zoo and I got very sad. So I hope it's not the same zoo. Whatever, I digress. Yeah, people film a lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
It's ruinous. It's really like... Griffith Park is huge. It's one of the biggest parks in the that is of the state in... it's the largest landmass park owned by a city. That's the statistic.
The observatory is up there. And you've seen, right? That's where the observatory is, up at the top. And if you've seen Rebel Without a Cause and many La La Land.
Absolutely. There's lots of movies that are filmed all over this park.
Yeah.
So that's kind of the park's legacy, aside from like teenage trespassers. And
or you getting, you find, or you going there and
you find the severed hand, you know, like whatever, whatever you feel. Or me going there and having a picnic. First date?
Yeah.
Anyone? Got it. We also were at a show last night and some guy talked about this like really nice first date. And I'm like, what's that like?
Yeah.
Were you like,
yeah. Were you like, oh.
I was like, why?
Yeah.
You brought a picnic to a first date at this like cool place.
Yeah.
I'm lucky if someone buys me a beer at the local dive bar during happy hour.
Yeah. But first you have to watch like 2 hours of their stand, like 2 hours of stand up first for an open mic or an improv show.
Exactly. You have to learn about that. They like to talk about the newest movie that they like to talk about MoviePass a lot.
Oh yeah,
single I dudes. Do. Yeah, they live in Palms. They like to talk about MoviePass.
Convenient.
That's it. Exactly. Convenient to me. Absolutely. Anyway, the Griffith Park Zoo opened in 1912 with a total of 15 animals. The new zoo, though, was built on Griffith J. Griffith's defunct ostrich farm. So we have to kind of backtrack before we get back to the zoo. Griffith, first of all, ostrich farms were like all the rage back in the like late 1800s, early 1900s. People thought that ostriches were the future. They thought that you could eat their meat, you could ride them. They would have ostrich saddles. They'd have wagons. We'll put a picture on the Instagram. The Facebook. They thought they were like this miracle animal that you could like raise and breed and they would be everything. The feathers were used for like,
are they indigenous to to LA?
Fuck no.
Okay, so they farmed, they brought them in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you'll see there's kind of a motif of old white men bringing in exotic animals and then failing at raising them. Anyway, Colonel Griffith J. Griffith, as he would like to be called, he was not a colonel. He was like this tiny, crazy dude.
Is there a statue of him at the...
No.
There's no statue of him there?
There's a bear.
No, I thought there was a statue of somebody.
I don't think so, because he got into a thing with the city.
Oh.
He was a mining correspondent for Alta California, a San Francisco newspaper. And as a researcher, he gained all this knowledge about oil mining, which was huge in California in the early 1900s. So he got all this knowledge and kind of became an expert, paired with a lot of oil syndicates, and got this gigantic fortune. So in 1882, he bought the Rancho Los Feliz Mexican land, 4,000 acres from the Rancho Los Feliz Mexican land grant. He had big dreams for the land. In 1885, he opened this new ostrich farm on the banks of the Los Angeles River, the beautiful LA River, in what's now Griffith Park. And they built a railway to transport all the ostriches through across the river and into the park.
So is that the train tracks that are there now? Is that part of that?
Okay. Yes. So you can even see all of this there. It's pretty phenomenal. So he wanted to take ostriches from downtown LA to this park, grow them, create this ostrich empire.
It's like Jurassic Park, but just ostriches.
Exactly. It pretty much is. And even at the time, the whole thing, like, people covered it, like the Chicago Tribune and New York Times, and they were like, what the shit is, like, what is happening over there in Los Angeles? They're like, I don't know about you guys. But he tried to do that, and it was kind of like this creepy amusement park too. Like, you could pet them and ride them and take them in wagons and eat them, like eat their meat of the ostriches that live there. And it turns out people were not so into that. He thought that they would be, but they were not. So on December 16th, 1986, Griffith and his wife, Christina, presented the acres and another 1,000 to the city of L.A. for a public park, which became Griffith Park.
Well, what year was it?
1896.
Okay, these are 1986.
I was like,
wow.
Yeah, they kept it for a while. They kept that ostrich farm going. You got to like keep it going. You got to see the business model to its end.
Yeah.
He called it a Christmas present for L.A. And they were like, okay, thanks.
We didn't get you anything.
Rude. Anyway, they were like, all right, we'll take this. But as that happened, Griffith, J. Griffith, he became more and more erratic. While vacationing in Santa Monica on September 3rd, 1903, Griffith shot his wife in the presidential suite of the Arcadia Hotel as she knelt on the floor before him. Doing what? Hard to say. The shot didn't kill her, but she was left disfigured and lost her right eye. I said hi.
Yeah.
Oh, goodness. Oh, boy. Cut that. Cut it. You won't.
No, I'll keep it.
Griffith was charged with an assault with a deadly weapon and went with intent to commit murder. The prosecution was led by the former governor of California, Henry T. Gage, and he was defended by this fancy attorney, and it was this huge, like, crime of the century type of a thing. Mrs. Griffith, now with one eye, revealed that her husband, generally thought to be a teetotaler, was in fact this secret alcoholic with crazy paranoid delusions. I mean, did the ostrich farm tip you off? Or...
yeah, what was it?
I don't know. He was convicted of a lesser charge, assault with a deadly weapon. The judge sentenced him to 2 years in San Quentin State Prison, instructing him to be given medical aid for his condition of alcoholic insanity. And he did, and he was in prison. She got a divorce and she was awarded custody of their probably very confused and terrified 16-year-old son, Vandel. And basically, he would pay for his son's education to Stanford. He would pay for all of his wife's things. And he was released from prison in 1906 after serving 2 years. He was like a model prisoner, which also like creeps me out a little bit too. Like when they're it's like, but they're crazy, but what happened in this time? And he started lecturing on prison reform. So in December 1912, Griffith offered a second Christmas present. How gracious of him. To Los Angeles in the form of the Greek Theater and the Hall of Science to be built at his expense at Griffith Park, which became the observatory.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience, and they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.
Now, at this point, the park was like, ooh, no more gifts, please. We are full on up on gifts. But they instituted a court action to block the donation. So Griffith was like, all right, well, then I'll put it in my will that you're taking this. Yeah. So it's almost like Griffith had to be like shoving this in LA's face. So he died in 1919, and the bulk of his $1.5 million estate was bequeathed to the city, which became the Greek Theater, the Griffith Observatory. He's in the Hollywood Forever Cemetery, which is also a creepy destination where my grandfather and great grandparents are buried. FYI, that's a little
interesting.
Rebecca Lieb nugget. Nobody cares. All right. So then let's get back to the zoo. So the ostrich farm became this park, which became a part of the city, and they built a zoo. In the mid-1920s, film producer William Nichols Seelig donated many of the animals from his studios, which he also tried to convert into a theme park. Hey, white guys, stop getting animals and not knowing what to do with them later and just being like, ah, this will do. Just put it on a train car. Put the animal in a hat. People will watch.
Yeah.
Whatever. It was expanded in the 1930s by work crews for the Works Progress Administration. Most of the enclosures were built in caves with iron bar style, which was standard for zoo. Hey, it's a real cave. Yeah. No, it's not. It's a prison.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Psych.
Yeah, it's brown though around the.
You having fun? They having fun? No one's having fun? All right, fine. And you can see that too, like when you go there, you can see kind of the old Zoom model of this caging. So as Los Angeles grew, the small Griffith Park Zoo was increasingly criticized as an inadequate, ugly, poorly designed, and underfinanced collection of beat-up cages, true, despite drawing more than 2 million visitors a year. In 1958, the city passed an $8 million bond measure to create a brand new zoo. Griffith Park Zoo closed in August 1966, and its animals were transferred to the new LA Zoo 2 miles away. That's right, I was there when I was high. November 1966. The animal enclosures with the bars removed were left as ruins. Picnic benches or tables were installed in kind of some of them. So like, oh, do you want to have a picnic here where these animals didn't thrive?
Yeah.
Sure.
Okay, why not?
Bring some cheeses. Do you want to bring a sandwich? So due to its proximity to Hollywood and the larger LA film industry and its unusual appearance, the zoo has been used as a shooting location for lots of film and TV projects. It's been shown in at least one episode of Starsky and Hutch. It was in Chips. Cop drama Aquarius, The New Adventures of Wonder Woman,
very 70s.
Rush Hours. Yeah. They were like, well, we'll use this place. Yeah. And I think it got like more depressing for a lot of people. But to cap all of that, they also think that it's haunted. I went, the park is haunted in a lot of ways too. And maybe someday we'll talk about all of the ways that, again, there's like dead bodies. There's like arms and hands and feet
this
found
is
there
for Griffith
every
park,
year.
As
yeah, the park
whole.
As a whole, not yeah. just the zoo in the yeah. park.
So we'll tune in for that.
Exactly. But pet psychic Lori Stinchfield went there, and she writes on her blog that when she and her film crew visited the old zoo grounds in 2010, she buckled over in nausea. Haunted?
Yeah.
I don't know. She envisioned malnourished big game cats resorting to cannibalism, among other suffering animals, a monkey accidentally hanging himself from a spinning from psychosis, elephants with sore infected feet, and a Komodo dragon peering out of the darkness. Even skeptics bow their heads. The suffering was like something that she like felt very adamantly about and talked a lot on her show and the blog post that I read.
So have you been? You've been there.
Yes.
Yeah, and I there's a lot of like graffiti and these like yes. kind of. I remember like going down like a stair thing and just a lot of like cool kids hanging out there like burnouts.
Exactly, like just hanging piles of leaves.
Yeah.
Cool.
Puff and vape.
A lot of like, well, you know, when there's like a lot of like, weed is legal here now, but like when they used to have all the prescription weed bottles everywhere, you know, like someplace was like, you're like, no one's cleaning this shit up. There's just like accumulation of weed bottles.
And you could see there's still some kind of like, I think it's animal etchings as like far as like the like kind of the aesthetic of it or something yeah. like that. It's been a couple of years, like probably like 4 or 5 years since I've been
yeah.
there. We should go back on an excursion.
Definitely. And you can kind of just like wander around. It's not super hard to find. It's kind of up in the hills a little bit, but it's fucking spooky.
Now there's a carousel there. What is that part of? Do you know that somebody told me there's a carousel? This is a mm-hmm. separate excursion. There's a carousel there. In Griffith Park,
mm-hmm.
that somebody said that like maybe Walt Disney saw. I don't know if there's a thing like Walt Disney saw that and was gave him inspiration for the ride at Disneyland.
Like I'd the look, carousel at Disneyland.
Maybe this might be a Griffith Park as a whole type thing. But gotcha. I didn't know if that carousel had anything to do. But I don't think it had anything to do with the zoo.
Mm. Yeah, I mean, I think that they also do the haunted hay rides really close to the park, the abandoned zoo. So that might be something that they put in and like just didn't deinstall.
Yeah.
Something like that. But the haunted hay rides are pretty fun. Also can be lame depending on what year it is.
Yeah.
Sometimes they go all out, sometimes they don't. Are we plugging? Do we get sponsored by the haunted hayride? No, of course not.
They don't need us. Why do they need us?
I don't. Why are we even talking?
During Halloween, people are like, this is the only thing to do. We don't need.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It's the only thing on the like east side to do.
Do, yeah.
And
it makes a lot of traffic.
Yeah. It's especially if you're like a teenager who like likes cotton candy.
Yeah.
And
making
not
out.
Being around your parents.
Yeah.
Yeah. You go on the haunted hayride.
Or us.
Yeah. I went on a date. Should I talk about a date every episode?
Yeah.
I went on a date that was like a non-date there. Like I went with a friend of a friend was like, oh, we should get a drink sometime. And I was like, yeah, sure. So then he's like, do you want to go on the haunted hayride with me? And I met up with him to go because I'd never been at that point. And we were there with a couple. So it was just
that
like
he brought or?
Yeah.
Okay.
So it was just like me, this dude I only hung out with the mutual friend and a couple.
So three strangers.
We did, and it was like kind of like Insane Clown Posse year.
Sure, yeah. Like a lot of Psycho.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Had a good day. Well, had a...
No, I was like, bye. Yeah. I gotta go. I gotta wander back to my car.
Yeah.
And really have a drink.
Yeah.
Like I can't. What are we doing here?
Well, we want to like revisit a lot of these places and maybe hire like somebody to shoot and edit the video, mm-hmm. And a lot of other things. So we have a Patreon.
We do.
Patreon.com/ghosttownpod. If you want to help support us and what we're doing, or we want to do a lot of interesting things.
Yeah. And you get some spooky stuff if you subscribe.
Yeah. Or some of it's not spooky at all.
Some of it's pretty middle of the road.
Yeah, some of it's middle of the road.
Room temperature water?
Yeah, yeah. We'll put it in one of the Ghost Town mugs.
How about that?
Yeah, fun.
Ooh.
Yeah, so you can, get mentioned on an episode or, advanced photos and mm-hmm. episodes and really, exciting stuff. But it helps us do this thing
yeah.
more because it's a very big community, as we could see by, we have a Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Ghost Town Pod. And we're excited for more of a community thing. So just not like, hey, we talk about this and we're done. Like, I'd like to go to there and be like, hey, we did an episode here, but now here's another. It's easy to kind of talk about it kind of academically, but to go back and do it experience wise, things a little bit different. Mm-hmm. And with your help and patronage, we could do that.
Yeah. And I'll look good on if there's video. Like I don't look good now, but I could. Look good.
Well, if you
I can get camera ready.
If you have access to a certain level of the Patreon, maybe you'll get a picture of Rebecca right now as an exclusive to see. Like,
oh yeah, how about that? How you about like that? A sweaty Urban Outfitters attire?
Yeah, you like that?
Then you're gonna like this.
Oh yeah, you're into that.
Yeah, but please, it's a dialogue. It's so fun and gratifying to hear from people and their experiences of doing these things that we talk about. Or their specific stories. Like, I live for that shit.
Yeah,
I'm
we
sure
want to
Jason
hear,
does too.
Yeah, no, we want to hear your, correct us when we're wrong, which mm-hmm. is probably all the time.
Yeah, near constantly.
You can email us at ghosttownpod@gmail.com. And like I said, all the socials, ghosttownpod, you can always message us on. And we want to hear from you. It's not a thing, it's not a burden. It's
never
a burden for you.
It's never a burden.
It's a burden for you.
We miss you.
Yeah.
We were thinking about you.
Yeah. Maybe Rebecca.
Why don't you call?
Maybe one of you will be a future date. Rebecca will go on and we'll talk about in a future episode. We don't know.
I'm hoping for it. Call me.
Angie has made it easier than ever to connect with skilled professionals to get all your jobs projects done well. If you own a home, you know how much work it can take, whether it's everyday maintenance and repairs or making dream projects a reality. It can be hard just to know where to start, but now all you need to do is Angie that and find a skilled local pro who will deliver the quality and expertise you need. Angie has over 20 years of home service experience. And they've combined it with new tools to simplify the whole process. Bring them your project online or with the Angie app, answer a few questions, and Angie can handle the rest from start to finish or help you compare quotes from multiple pros and connect instantly, which means you can take care of just about any home project in just a few taps. Because when it comes to getting the most out of your home, you can do this when you Angie that. Download the free Angie mobile app today or visit Angie.com. That's ANGI.com.